It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Dr. Gary Adams with the National Cotton Council in just a moment. First off, cotton planting, Brad Rippey with USDA.
Cotton, 16% planted by May 1st, 1 percentage point ahead of the five-year average, 1 point ahead of this time a year ago. We now see at least some cotton planting progress in 14 of the 15 major production states. And in the drought-stricken Southwest, things are really moving quickly. 95% of the cotton planted in California by May 1st. Five-year average is only 59%. Also off to the races in Arizona, 71% planted, 62% on average. The only state with no cotton acreage planted yet is Oklahoma, 0% versus 8% on average. That may be a reflection of some of the drought conditions, producers concerned about dry conditions in the cotton belt in Oklahoma.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Dr. Gary Adams. Gary is president and CEO, National Cotton Council. And first off, Gary, welcome back to the show. It's kind of an interesting time to be visiting, isn't it?
Well, it really is, Tony, and thank you for having me. Look forward to catching up.
Well, let's start with the big one here. And we don't have to look much further than the markets to see this one. Really, the last time we saw prices like this was 10 years ago and actually saw the market go over $2. But things are a little different today than they were 10 years ago, aren't they?
They are. And you're right. We are still at the highest prices that we've had in 10 years. But yeah, the dynamics are a little different. It appears there's a few things coming into play when we look at cotton markets and all commodity markets. You know, specifically on cotton, we are seeing, you know, demand bounce back after the really sharp slowdown that it had during the COVID pandemic. So that's part of it. I think some of the logistics issues that are going on are coming into play in the markets as well. We're just seeing general price inflation across all commodities, and they were already strong. And then it seems like, you know, when we had the Ukraine-Russia conflict break out, that has driven the grain markets even higher. And I think some of that's we've seen some sympathy trading that has pulled cotton higher as well.
Are we entering an area where we could see some demand destruction? We did see that last time when the market went above $2. Is that a concern as we move forward?
I think it is a concern that we have to watch for. You know, I mentioned demand being one of the drivers that has kind of helped push prices to the level we're seeing now, and we can see that when we look at on the export side, particularly the sales numbers that have been very strong through the first few months of this marketing year. We can talk about shipments because that comes with its own challenges. But yes, we've seen some strong demand. But one of the indicators that we watch is we look at where prices are for the raw fiber relative to where yarn prices are, because that always starts to define what's happening at the margins at the spinner level. And this latest run up in raw fiber prices has started to pull away from where yarn prices are. So we're seeing that gap widen between the two. And that does tell me that we're going to see a little more pressure on the spinners. That I worry about some of them kind of pulling back and maybe taking a more wait-and-see approach on where the market's going. So that's something we're going to have to watch out for, because we always have to remember there still is lower-priced alternatives out there, specifically when we look at, you know, the polyester prices that are low in particularly China.
You talked about the export sales, and then we have export shipments, and you touched on that. And obviously that opens up the can of supply chain issues, which not only are affecting our exports, but also getting us on the import side, and that's some of our input costs there. Does all of this kind of tie together?
Well, it does, and input costs are, I would say, just about as high as they've ever been. I think this will be one of the, for producers, this will be one of the more expensive crops that they've had to produce, and we've done some numbers on some of the budgets that for cotton would suggest that maybe another $200 per acre of additional cost with the 22 crop relative to what we had in 2021. But some of it's availability issues, so getting enough product imported into the United States is part of it. Again, the Russia-Ukraine situation, particularly given that Ukraine was such a major exporter of certain inputs, as well as Russia. So all of those factors have come into play with in terms of where fertilizer prices are. And, of course, we know what's happening with fuel prices. So, yeah, supply chain has impacted us on both getting our product moved out of the country and then also getting the inputs into the country that we need.
And when we talk about input cost already, there are challenges, but now some additional challenges. It seems as though this is a pendulum that swings back and forth. I don't know that it stays on the side that ag would like long enough, but now I'm talking about Environmental Protection Agency and EPA and just some of the challenges producers are having there, especially if we're talking about dicamba. Is that on your radar?
It is, and certainly actions by EPA over the last few years have been something that we have watched very closely. Dicamba is one of those products that gets a lot of attention. We've seen label changes over the last two or three years. There's some legal challenges going on right now. There were concerns coming out of the 2021 crop, particularly out of the Midwest, on some of those drift issues that seem to put the crosshairs on dicamba. You know, I think, and I emphasize the word think in terms of what will happen. I believe we'll be okay for 2022, that growers will have access and use it as the label is right now. I do believe that we need to be prepared, though, for some changes potentially with 2023. EPA, again, is looking at potential label changes. I think they'll be working with the registrants as we go through 2022. We don't really have a good idea of what those changes will be, but we as the National Cotton Council will take every opportunity we have to try to weigh in with EPA just to make sure that we can protect the ability to use those products in a timely manner. And so that's something we're going to continue to monitor going forward.
And I know, really, I just kind of teed you up on the idea of registration for products, but there's also something else that EPA is involved with as well, and that's waters of the U.S. And at this point, I think every agricultural and farm organization is aligned on this one, concerns about the future and how we define waters of the U.S. Is that something that's on your radar as well?
It is, and there we just really don't have a clear picture of where EPA wants to go with waters of the U.S. We felt like the Navigable Waters Protection Rule that was put in under President Trump's administration, we felt like that worked well. We know that was vacated by a court order. And then there was, of course, prior to that, there was the WOTUS that was put in by the Obama administration. We haven't reverted back to that either. We've essentially reverted under this EPA back to some of the regulations that were in place with the Clean Water Act of the mid-1980s. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster in terms of what are the rules. And now we're just trying to figure out and decide, okay, where's EPA going to go over the course of the next year or so in terms of trying to put a new rule in place. But our concern is that they overstep in terms of their reach of what waters they have jurisdiction over, and then it gets to a point where farmers aren't able to engage in normal farming practices. So that's what we're really trying to guard against.
Speaking of normal farming practices, many of the practices that cotton producers are already involved in fall under something known as the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. The protocol sign up just wrapping up a few days ago. When you look back at 2021 and the protocol, what do you see?
Well, we did just wrap up data collection for the 2021 harvest, and my understanding right now on the latest data is we've got about 650 producers that participated from the 2021 harvest, which is more than double the number that we had in 2020. So we've been Very pleased to see the adoption by producers. And we know, you know, the practices that we're documenting now through the trust protocol and the data we're collecting, it really reflects the practices that producers have been doing for decades. I mean, they have been and continue to be the best environmental stewards of the land. Now, this trust protocol just gives us an opportunity to collect that information, aggregate the information, and be able to tell that sustainability story of U.S. cotton production, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we keep markets open for U.S. cotton and that we meet the needs of the brands and retailers from a sustainability perspective. And so I think the trust protocol is the way to do that and to keep those markets open so that we can ensure that we get U.S. cotton into all supply chains.
Talk about keeping markets open, and a bit of a curveball here, but something you and I've talked about in the past, and that's the World Trade Organization. Dispute panel has been the appeals side of that basically non-functioning now for a few years. Are you hearing anything on the WTO front, either moving forward on the dispute panel work or just reforms at WTO? Are you hearing anything at all at this point?
We don't hear a lot in terms of any concrete guidance. I will say that when we look at the WTO, they are planning to hold a ministerial conference in June in Geneva. This will be the first time probably in 3 or 4 years they've had a ministerial conference. The previous time they were planning one, it was a COVID casualty. But I would say, just based on the feedback we're hearing, is that expectations of any big developments coming out of this next ministerial conference in June are very low. I think the WTO is still trying to find its path forward and what it can do. We don't see any changes imminent in terms of the dispute settlement body and those appeals panels. So right now, I don't see a lot happening. There will continue to be meetings, but don't see a lot in the way of outcomes from the WTO.
Well, it just means one thing. You'll have to come back and visit with us down the road, and we'll dig a little deeper into trade as well. Will you do that?
Absolutely. Always look forward to it.
And if you'd like to keep up with the National Cotton Council, it's online at cotton.org, cotton.org. Dr. Gary Adams, President and CEO, National Cotton Council, on today's Agribusiness Report.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today from the National Cotton Council, Dr. Gary Adams.
Looking to get more out of your hay harvest? At Livingston Machinery, we're proud to offer Heston by Massey Ferguson wind rowers, disc mower conditioners, round balers, large and small square balers. These rugged machines are built for high performance and high capacity. They're simple to maintain and consistently deliver the best results. Don't settle for less. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
You can learn more about the National Cotton Council online, cotton.org, cotton.org.
When it comes to farming and dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Additional resources are now available to the Agriculture Department's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service in its response efforts to highly pathogenic avian influenza.
Financial support through the Secretary's transferring funds to us from the Commodity Credit Corporation.
Chief Veterinarian Rosemary Sifford says nearly $263 million was transferred from CCC to APHIS to directly support outbreak response efforts, complementing a previous transfer from the Commodity Credit Corporation.
We did receive a previous allocation of approximately $130 million in mid-March.
The Secretary is authorized to transfer funding from available resources such as CCC to address emergency outbreaks of animal and plant pests and diseases. Dr. Sifford further encourages commercial and backyard poultry flock owners to practice enhanced biosecurity as further prevention against high path AI. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.